So Stacey, can you share first and then Jonah and then Marilette? And the reason why we didn't release these prophetic words during our singing part of worship is we believe it's key prophetic words from the Lord for us this morning that really sets up the preaching of the word. So there's a message that has been prepared, and I believe that this just kind of like echoes and points to where we want to go with the rest of the meeting. So Stacey, Jonah, and then Marilette.
Morning. In worship, I just felt the Lord remind me of the picture with the disciples in the boat. And when obviously, if you know the story, when Peter asked the Lord and said, Lord, if it's you, say, come. And he was willing to step out of the boat. And I felt that the Lord shared to me the heart for the congregation. That if you're going to sit in the boat, you're going to forfeit the power of God. And that you need to step out of the boat if you want to see His power. And His power wants to come. And I heard Him say, my gospel is a gospel of power. And you have to step out. And I felt that there was some in the boat looking at the water going, I can't do it. I'm afraid. And I really felt that Lord said, I will be with you. Step out and you will experience me.
Yeah, just I had that picture of Paul and Silas in prison and just while in chains worshiping God. And I felt like there's many of us that want to be like that, that have that desire. You know, we've got that desire in the spirit, like we want to be like that. We want to be those that even in chains, in prison for His name's sake, that we would give Him glory and worship. But almost like the flesh is so weak and the flesh is leading us. And I just felt to remind us that the way that the Spirit takes control in our lives is by an act of power from Him. We need His power to transform us. It's not something you can just do in yourself. You can't just, you know, find that place without Him. And the encouragement is to find Him. And that there was also a group of people that actually feared the cost. They feared the chains. They're like, Lord, like, what will it cost me if I go all out for You? And I feel like God wants to set you free from that fear that you can, no matter what it takes, that you could, you could love Him and do what He's called you to do.
I've been spending time in Titus, and specifically Titus 2, where it tells us exactly what the life of a Christian should look like. And God's really been speaking in my life and putting His finger on certain things that I need to change. And this morning as I was sitting there, I had this picture of a big screen TV and felt that every pixel, because it's pixelated pictures, every pixel is a Christian. And as we step into what God wants from us, that pixel turns from black to color. And the picture that we get at the end is God and the face of God. And that's what we show the world. So show your picture.
Brilliant. Interesting, with all these prophetic words, there had to be an action, a positioning from us in order to walk in, like the pixel. As we turn to the Lord and we surrender everything, then we reflect something of the face of Jesus. And so just sitting and just passively doing the Christian thing doesn't fully reflect that. We can be comfortable in the boat, but the power is not in the boat. The power is when we step out. And there's a call to step out. Whether in the chains, there had to be a singing, a responding. And then as there was respond, there was breakthrough. There was power available. And so the fear of the chains, it didn't first come on them. And then they're like, now I'm ready to take this. There was a step of faith, a response to Jesus. And then the provision came. And I felt that is, in light of what God is speaking to us, look, we're not looking for the best sermon to kind of like, to find likes, you know. We're not recording our sermons to get it out there on social media to get likes, or we're not trying to formulate the best possible sermon. We're trying to pick up what is God doing in this house. And then we want to bring that to the church and say, this is God speaking to us. And so we really sense that the Lord is speaking to us to be set apart, give ourselves, give everything, just like Jesus gave everything. We're not asking this because of it's a Joshian thing. We believe God is calling us to do this, but it's based on Jesus who gave everything. He didn't consider it robbery to take on the nature of humanity and die in our place. He gave everything. And there's a call for us to give everything, whether that's serving someone that just had a baby, or it's serving there at the info table, loving on people as they come in, whether it's moving to another congregation or being part of a plant. There's a sense that God is calling. Would you make yourself available and give everything and die so that the life of Christ, so that the face of Christ might be revealed? And so on that, we've got two elders that is going to preach this morning. We're going to do things a bit differently. Because God spoke about a double portion, so there'll be a double portion this morning. So that's even a prophetic picture in itself. If you thought, oh, two elders, that's an hour and 10 minutes for the two, don't worry, that's not the case, okay? We wanna make sure that it's nice and tight. They're going to roughly be 10 to 15 minutes each one, so don't worry about that. But I felt there was something of the collective that God is wanting to demonstrate, even in the preaching, where God is speaking about the priesthood and everyone doing its part. I believe that is demonstrated in the fact that it's not one person bringing God's word, but two. Because God speaks through His people, not just one man. So Sherman, if you're ready, and then after him, Andre, you can come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart.
Good morning, church. So I am Sherman, going to be delivering a sermon. Get the jokes out the way, nerves gone. Thank you very much. Okay, so as Kevin said, I'm Sherman, and I serve on the eldership team here in Josh Jen. I'm going to get straight into it. And I'm going to just chat quickly about what we are talking about. Excuse me. And I know for a lot of us, we've heard it before. Some of us have lived it or tried to live it. And some of us have never heard it before. And it's this thing about dying to live. And some of you just heard it now again, be like, yo, Sherman, here we go. And that's okay if you haven't heard it before. It kind of was like our slogan or ease. But it's not, I want to just say from the forefront, it's actually not a Josh Jen thing. I think Kevin also said it. It's not a Josh Jen thing. It's like Josh Jen dying to live. We do, excuse me, try and adapt it to our lives, die to live. But where does it come from? Excuse me. Where does it come from? It's actually the Jesus way. It's actually the way of Jesus Christ. And for us that believe that we are following Jesus, this is actually where it all comes from and where it all ends, actually. It's in Jesus, from Jesus, for Jesus, toward Jesus, in like everything about Jesus. And if He's our great example, then we need to follow. And we need to believe that we are followers of Christ. And if we do, we take that example and we don't just sit in the boat and watch, but we step out. And we do as He has called us to. So, did you know that in order for something to live, it must first die? Like what? In order for something to live, it must first die. And Jesus, again, He depicts this so clearly to all of us. So excellently. So, like, the best example. And it's the cross. It's the cross. So what happened on the cross, before the cross, on the cross, and after the cross. In Isaiah 50, verse 6. I'm going to read it from here. Okay. It says, this is Jesus actually saying, I gave my back to those who strike. And my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from this grace and spitting. Jesus took it on himself and said, okay, I'm going to take it. I'm going to allow someone to spit at me. I'm going to allow someone to pull out my beard. I'm going to allow someone to put a crown of thorns on my head. I'm going to allow someone to beat me. And as I'm speaking, you might be feeling like, oh, Sherman, some of the things that I'm feeling are not as extreme maybe as Jesus being whipped, but there might be some things that you're going through. You're like, oh, this is tough. I'm being battered. I'm being bruised. But it's his example. It's his example. Because he went all the way. Not just halfway, be like, oh, this is a bit tough. I'm going to back down a bit. They beat me a few times. I'm just going to. Now I'm going all the way. And he's all in. All the time. And he goes all the way to the cross. Nail pierced hands. Feet. Beaten. Blood everywhere. And he goes and he gives up his spirit. And Jesus Christ died. He's dead. Death. It's done. But it didn't end there. Can you imagine, imagine it just ended there on the cross, dead, done. Thank you, Jesus. And when you're speaking to your friends that don't know him, you know, my God died. My God died. Oh, okay. Now, 3 days later, the stone was rolled away. 3 days later, the grave, empty. The cross, empty. He's alive. He reveals himself. He goes to Mary. He's like revealing himself. He goes to the disciples and he says to Mary, what are you looking for? Those dead things. No, I'm alive. Yeah, I am. I'm alive. Check me out. I'm alive. And today, he's what? Alive. He's alive. And this is the thing for all of us. Yes, we might be feeling battered and bruised, but we are dying to live. There's life. And the thing is this, there had to be death in order for there to be life. And today we're still in that. Jesus died, but he rose again. He rose again. So I got some grass growing there at home. Thanks to Alan. Alan, are you here? He helped me just with ideas. And it was last year, April, where we planted. And just before planting that, I planted some peppers. And I planted some tomato seeds. And a couple of days later, Stacy was like, what are you doing? There's nothing. And this is why she said that. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Alan gave me the advice. I'm going to just, hopefully get, instead of just mud and sand, I'm going to plant some stuff. This is April 2025. And a couple of days ago, I took this photo. Boom! There's life. Come on. There's life. And that's the same. Something had to die. Soil was toiling. Took more than a year to get here. Sweat, tears, doubt, being like, maybe give up, Sherman. But I knew that in order for something to live, needs to die. It even needs to look dead. It looked dead. There was nothing going on. And I realized, even just looking at this picture the other day, we had someone pull out some of the grass because they were playing on it and did like a cartwheel, and then it was a piece of length of grass and just pulled it out and chucked it And I'm like, I decided in that moment, okay, I'm going to die to self. But you're whole, yeah, and you just come. But this life, I think I just took the cross and re-put it in my heart. But I realized, like, I'm still dying, even to grass. Even to the things of this world that I spend time in. Career, kids, wife. Jesus didn't go halfway or just one foot in. He went all the way. And in Romans 6, verse 8, just go there. Now, this is a message for us from Paul. He says, now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. So there's that promise again. Like, he didn't just die on the cross. He rose again. And he's living. And we live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. Once for all. But the life he lives to God. So he didn't go, okay, I'm going to die so that I can now live and be free and do my own thing. He went, I'm going to die so now I can live to God. And that's the same for us. Yes, we need to go through it daily. Yes, it's a daily death. But when we live, we don't live for those desires again. The fleshly desires. We go, from this point, I'm going to live to God. My career, to God. My family, to God. And it's quite, profound, that word, to God. Nico, you with me? Okay, Galatians. Where am I? Because you have your Bible with you, obviously, so that's how you're following. In Galatians 2:19, it says, For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. So the first one is the picture of Jesus living to God. And here Paul says to the Galatians, I've now sacrificed, but now I too, like Jesus, live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, like us now. Because oftentimes what happens is I die to self so that one day in eternity I can live. No, in the flesh now I live. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is daily, every day. The way I speak to my wife, I decide, no more. I decide that as I choose against the flesh, I choose the way of Jesus. I choose dying to live. Coming to Romans 8, verse 36, says Paul again, saying, for your sake, we are being killed once off and never again. No, sorry. Wrong version. For your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to the slaughter. Tachatye, one more time. And again, die. And again. And again, it doesn't stop. Someone asked the question, like, yo, how many times does I still die? When does it stop? You got the answer, right? Never. When you're dead, but you'll be risen. And in closing, I just want to end with this. Again, Paul to the Philippians. He says to us, church, family, friends, have this mind among yourselves. Now, I'm still grappling with it a bit. But he says, he doesn't say, Milo, have this behavior about you. Doesn't say, Bennett, this heart, man, I need you to have this heart. He says, have this mind about you. And like I said, I'm still grappling with it, but if something is here in the mind, it almost starts to sink into the heart the more you do it. And because you believe, you obey. Because you obey, you act out. So it's almost like he did say, your behavior, your heart, your everything. But he focuses on the mind, because maybe there's a choice in all of this. There's a choice. Have the mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was the form of God, here comes the humility of Jesus, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. You have a choice to make yourself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself. He said he will take the punches. He'll take the spitting. He'll take the crown of thorns. He'll take the beating. He'll take the piercing. And becoming obedient even to the point of death. Even death on a cross. For all of us. And my encouragement for all of us is, we know. We can acknowledge these two choices. One is Sherman's way, your way. And then there's the distinct other way, the Jesus way, the dying to live way. Andre, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. So, for those that don't know me, my name's Andre. I have to do like all other elders say, I'm married to my lovely wife. I'm not always sure whether there's another wife at home that's not lovely, but this is my lovely wife. I'm an elder. The privilege is to be an elder in this church, to be part of the group of men that help to serve and guide. And this morning I want to talk about faith, facing forward. And I want to just, I have to do this and just back off a little bit. In worship, God spoke to me about something. He says to me, as Christians, our hearts has got good soil. I thought, yeah. He says, be careful what you think, because that seed, that weed that you let through, falls into that good soil, and it's going to become strong. Make sure that you don't have to deal with something later that you should have stopped while thinking. And I just felt that linked with what you were saying. So I had to just bring it in there. So I want to start with a statement this morning, by which I'm also going to end off with. You can put the slide on for me, please, Jenna. It says that our faith does not grow by rehearsing yesterday. It grows by trusting God with tomorrow, and your joy is the strength of God within us that carries us there. I think that many Christians don't stop believing God. What we battle with is that we get demotivated. We stop believing the truth of God. We still pray, we still go to church, we still serve. But there's this one thing where we tend to feel that I'm still alive, I'm still doing good. But inwardly, something has shifted. Our expectations have faded. We become weary. And it's linking to what Kevin said at the beginning, that we shouldn't become weary. You see, weariness doesn't come and say, as of today, right now you're weary. It's something that starts whispering in my heart. It's something when life starts going wrong in your life, or it doesn't work out how you thought it's going to work out, that you start thinking, it shouldn't be this way. I'm a Christian after all. I should have preferential treatment. I belong to the King. I'm the King's kid. It shouldn't be this hard. Every one of you, me included, are facing issues. We're facing wars. We've been facing them for long times, perhaps. Maybe it's a new war. Maybe yesterday you found out about a disease or something, whatever. It's a new war. We're all facing issues. And I want to look at obstacles. And I thought I should call my preach Faith Looking Forward. And I also thought maybe just say obstacles to laying down our lives. 4 points, and then I want to end. The first point is to give. Giving in often becomes with comparing and comparison. So when things happen to me, my very first thing is, Lord, I look up. Why? I'm not happy. God, I complain upwards. Or I look sideways and I say, Diamond, he's got it easy. Why me? We complain sideways. We even speak to others and find them to support our view. And listen, I can tell you this much. You can get the highest authority in this church to agree with you. And it mark ni saak ni. My complaining sideways does not matter. It's about what God's speaking to me. It's my relationship with God, and that's what counts. Questions. Lord, why is it taking so long? Lord, why me? Why did God do it? Why did God do it for them and not for me? Barry takes 10 rand, he put it in his savings account, and he goes back tomorrow. There's 100 rand. Wow! So I take 10 rand, put it in the savings account, and there's 9 rand left. Why did God do it to him? We compare. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 says, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. In other words, by comparing, I tend to set myself as the level to which everybody else needs to be measured. See, if I say to you guys, I'm 1 meter tall, everybody that's my length is 1 meter. Is it right? Is it wrong? But we tend to do that in life. And what happens when we do that? We are actually distorting God's timing. We erode gratitude, and we quietly accuse God of being unfair. Lord, you did it for him. You didn't do it for me. So we're blaming God. You know what happens? When that happens, my joy starts leaking out. Point two, looking back is easier than facing forward in faith. We read in Genesis 19 about Lot's wife. And she turned into a pillar of salt. And the background of the story is that Sodom and Gomorrah was a sinful city. And God said that he's going to judge them. So he sent two angels, and they came to Lot's house. And the long story short, they basically took him out, him and his wife, and they led them out, and their kids. And they said to them, in verse 26 of chapter 19, they said to them to run, to not look back, and I'm trying to find my verse, run for your lives, and don't look back, or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains. And as they were running, this lady got curious, This lady got curious. I'm stuck. This lady got curious, and she looked back. And you know what happens when she turned into salt pillar? The picture I had was she was going forward, and she stuck like this for the rest of her life. She's not going anywhere. So often, we feel we're stuck. I'm asking you a question. Are you looking backwards when God said, go that way? When we look back, she got stuck there for the rest of her life. We've got this saying that you need to look back to know where you're coming, so you know where you're going. It sounds so good in the natural, but spiritually that's wrong. Looking back represents a loss of confidence where God is taking me to. It's not nostalgic. It's a hesitation about the future God's called you into. Luke 9:62, Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. I had it good. This was good where I came from. Ek was nie so slegte sondaar gewees nie. I was net so klein bietjie stout. Naughty. Whatever you want to qualify it for yourself. God says, looking back, you can't go forward because you're not fit for the service. Point three. I'm skipping some stuff for time's sake. Waiting reveals where my joy is anchored in. We all go through seasons of waiting, and it exposes our hearts. See, waiting is an ugly place. I hate it when God says to me to wait. I just don't like it. Waiting is that thing where we were speaking in our com group on it on Wednesday, and when Derek came with a beautiful picture that I think is irrelevant. He says, when you go into a restaurant, the waiter comes to the table and he asks the person seated there, I've got this whole menu of things I can bring you. I can bring you cutlery. I can bring you napkins. I can bring you whatever it is. What do you want me to bring you? Because I am here to serve you. And he looks you in the eye and he's focused to make sure that whatever you ask, he brings the right order. It's a picture of us waiting on Jesus, saying, what, Lord, do you want me to bring? Because if you ask for fish, I can't bring you bacon and eggs. God's not asking me to bring whatever I feel, saying, Andre, wait, focus. I will tell you. And sometimes that waiting, while God waits for me to deal with stuff in me so that I can bring the best that I have to Him. And by the way, the best in me is Jesus. So in a sense, I'm always bringing Jesus to Jesus. The rest of me He's not interested in. So if your joy is anchored in the progress that we can measure, or in the fact that my circumstances will be improving, or in the fact that God is acting within my timetable for crying out loud, Lord, then waiting will drain you. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, where Jesus, we get used Jesus as a model, and he says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, not around him. It wasn't the joy now. It was for a future joy. If you want the future joy, you have to focus where God says, yes, the joy. Not, Lord, for now. It's not a quick fix. It's for the joy that was set before him. He knew where he was going. My translation says he endured, not enjoyed, the cross. See, his joy wasn't at the moment. His joy was in what his obedience would accomplish. So faith does not focus on what I see and how I feel. It faces forward and it stays focused on Jesus. Back to the table. When the waiter comes, he's focused on me. What is it that you want from God? Not, I actually said it wrong. It's not what I want from God. It's, Lord, what is it that you want from me? Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yes! We've all enjoyed that verse of scripture. In some stage of worship, God's joy is our strength, and we dance to it. Question is, what is strength? Strength is that ability of God in me to accomplish that which God wants me to do. So if I can change that verse of scripture or fill it in, it will read something like that. So the joy of the Lord is God's ability in me to continue walking with Him. That's my strength. And the thing that my circumstances does, it robs me of joy, steals my ability, steals my strength. I get stuck. I've often, when you look at people, and I thought the worst example that, or the example I can use, that's probably the worst, is saying that when I stand at a grave, I lost my father, I'm weeping, but my joy isn't gone, because this is not tied to joy. Joy is that future thing that I will accomplish, that I'm laying my life down for that. For that which God's called me into. Point four. Jesus refused comparison, complaint, and backward focus. He never compared his path with anybody else. Imagine in Gethsemane, the prayer of Jesus was like that, like this. Father, why must I die at the age of 33 when these sleeping disciples is going to outlive me? They're going to have long, full lives. Why must I die? Why am I the one to die? You see, that's what we do in comparison. I'm looking at you and I think, you've got it well. Why must I not have it well? Why do I have to suffer? I mean, up till end of last year, and I'm just being honest, in a way confessing, saying, Lord, we've been struggling with financial things for years. Not our own doing. The guys know the story. I've shared it before. But we haven't had a proper holiday for years. And then one of the elders would come and say, "Yo, Lord, yeah, I really need a holiday." And I'm thinking, lack of fear, John. Lord, why can he go and I must stay at home? And yes, we did have a holiday last year. God provided, and we were blessed. But it was the first time in many years that we had the ability to go away. And I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm using an example because my heart was bad. And I realized I'm comparing. I'm not rejoicing with people who can. When God blesses them in their situation, I'm saying, because my standard is, they shouldn't have that, Lord. If I can't have that, yeah, they shouldn't have that. And I had to repent of that. So, Lord, I'm sorry. Because Jesus never compared his life with the rest. But Jesus said something else. In John, I want to go to John, and then I'm going to come back to this point. In John 21, we see that Jesus speaks to Peter. And he says to Peter about the cost of following him. And Peter's immediate response was, Lord, what about him? what about this guy? And Jesus answered to him, and I always thought, like, yo, Lord, that is rude. Until I started realizing what's going on here. Jesus says, what is that to you? You do, and you follow what I called you to. Maybe you would like to hold this mic, but that's not what God called you to. But I can't stand here holding the mic if I don't have the people at the back controlling it. God's called them there and for me or whoever's got the mic. Yeah, just an example. Jesus in Luke 22:42 says, Father, not my will, your will be done. Father, in other words, I lay down my life, my very breath, I will lay it down because that is what you asked me to do. And I want to just say something that Jesus there said, I am demonstrating that I am living the life that I'm asking you to do. If I'm prepared to lay down my life, he's expecting that from every one of us. Yeah, all of us, me included. And practically, when I start landing, he says this. He says, well, we know that Kevin spoke this morning about the churches being planted out. The difficult thing for me is, Lord, should I go or should I stay? And I think it's a question all of us ask is, Lord, are we going or are we staying? And the easiest thing is, I asked God if I must go, and he didn't answer. So obviously I'm staying. I want to challenge you and ask you the question. So ask the question in a different way. So, Lord, do I stay? Have you called me to stay? Because it's comfortable, yeah. It's a bit warm, but there is something happening in time. It'll happen next year, but do I stay? And God's question, answer to you, will be the answer that you need to follow. Yes or no? So dying to live is not about comparing. It's about laying my life down for his sake. If you keep complaining, you're looking sideways. If you keep comparing, you're losing sight of your calling. If you keep looking back, you will struggle going forward. Philippians 3, my last verse, is forgetting, and I've put in brackets, the good or bad that is behind me, straining myself forward. I press on. I don't give up, I press on. So I want to encourage you all, press on. God's got a call, God's got a plan. It is worth the effort to die, to lay down.
Thank you, Andre. Let's all stand, please, congregation. I want to encourage you to close your eyes, but settle your hearts and just listen to me. I just want to address two short things. This is going to be a minute, but this is the minute to win it. This is the most important minute. So just close your eyes. It's so important that at this moment you actually focus on Jesus Christ. So I've got just two questions for you. The first thing is, we are fully convinced that we need to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like, personal, between me and Jesus Christ, my Savior. If that's the case, I want to encourage you right now. If you've been guilty of comparing or looking back, apologize to your Creator right now. Repent right now. It's not between me and you, it's between you and Him, but I'm begging you, please do that now. Lord, for me and those that are guilty of this, I want to ask, Lord, have mercy on us. Who are we to dictate to you And we recognize you're a good Father. And I just want to ask, Lord, bring about your mercy and forgiveness to people that are discontent, looking back and comparing and finding that the hand that you've dealt us is not good enough. I pray, Lord, forgive us and help us to give you a clean slate and to accept that you are a good Father, even though we don't always think it or feel it, Lord. And I pray that you replace that with trust in Jesus' name. And then the last thing is, today is the day where you have an opportunity to actually, like Sherman said, do the lawn and plant that seed. But that means dying to yourself. And what I want to ask you is, if you are here and you have not surrendered to Jesus Christ as your leader, your King, and your Savior, the one who actually has the ability to make the grass grow in your life and in you, I want to ask you a very simple question. Will you surrender today? And what I'm asking you is this, is, are you able to pray a prayer to Him to say, Jesus, today I recognize I'm running my life. I'm the boss. I make the decisions. And I realize I'm unhappy. I'm unfulfilled. And I am completely unable to save myself or even lead myself. And I want to recognize that Jesus is the boss of the whole world. I recognize today and I choose to believe that you made me. I belong to you. And I want to bow my knee to you. I want to start dying to live. Because I know I'm not living. If you did this, I'm talking to you. Because you know you did. And I know how that feels. I'm not talking down at you. I really want to stand alongside you and say, I know how it is to be dead. But only Jesus Christ can make alive. And so, I want you to answer my question by raising your hand. Here's my question again. Will you today choose to do what the people that are here did, which is, Jesus, I surrender to you. I choose to love you, to follow you as the King of Kings and my Savior. Then put up your hand, please. Put up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In the back, thank you. Wonderful. 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 I don't want to stop. Jesus is there, young people. Wonderful. Love it. This is our Savior. We can't do this. I want to make this so clear. I'm only doing this because the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He spoke so clearly to me because He knows what I don't know, which is there's people here that need Him. And He's calling you because He loves you. So I want to ask as a last time, is there anyone? Put up your hand. You're not responding to me. I'm just a messenger. You're responding to the Savior, to Jesus, your Creator. If it's you, put up your hand. Follow Him. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your hand. Okay, so with those people, I want to ask you, if you've seen them put up your hand, don't bombard them. Be gentle. But just, I'm going to ask people around you to put their hands on you because that's what Jesus told us. Jesus says, lay hands on people. So if you saw a hand, just lay your hand on them. Put up your hand. We want to love you, and I want to lead you in a simple prayer, okay? This, what I'm going to pray now is just to say, Jesus, you're the boss. I trust you. I need you. I want to walk with you and obey you. So I want to follow you. But I want to ask all of us, let's pray this together. Because the thing is, what Andre and Sherman explained so well is we daily have to die. So this goes for me. I might look, you might think I'm a big Christian because I'm up here with a mic. That's a complete lie, okay? I'm still a sinner and I need this Jesus that I'm trying to introduce you to as much as you need Him. So let's all pray together, okay? Because we all need Him. So pray after me. Jesus Christ, you are Lord. Today I acknowledge that I need you. And I'm asking you to come into my life. Please renew my mind and renew my heart like you promise in your scriptures. I now surrender to you as my boss, knowing that you're actually a very good Father. please forgive my sins and make me a new person. Amen. Wonderful.
Wonderful, praise God. There's going to be some guys chatting to you and praying with you. But just before we go out, I just want to remind us of the three prophetic words. The one was about stepping out of the boat. The one was like in your place of chains, you want to get loose. But it's by the Spirit of God. And then the last one was, as we turn to the Lord, we give up everything. We reflect Jesus Christ. And Jenna, if you can quickly put on Isaiah 26 verse 8. And how do we step out of a boat? It's not this charismatic thing where you close your eyes and you picture yourself getting out of the boat. And it's like, whoa, I'm stepping on the water. It's actually a life of obedience. That is stepping out of the boat. It's yielding and saying, I want to obey. I want to die daily. And then we've got to know that we can't do it in our own strength. It's by the power of God. He is the one who enables us to live that life. And then we're doing it for the glory and the fame of our King. Because we want to reflect Him. That's why we do it. That's why we give ourselves. And Isaiah 26 verse 8, it says, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws. Another translation says, we show trust in you by obeying your laws. So walking in your laws, obeying your laws, we wait for you. Our heart's desire is your name and your renown. That's wrong. Oh, it's just different. It's the ESV. But the NIV says, your name, your renown is the desire of our hearts. And so as we go here, may we step out of the boat. May we depend on His ability. And may we live to reflect Him for His glory, His renown. Lord, we want to show Your face. We want to show You to the people in this community. So Lord, we choose today, whatever You've called us to do, we want to have Your mind, and we choose to obey and give ourselves so that You would be glorified, because that is the desire of our hearts. We bless You, Lord. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Coffee and tea at the back. Visitors, grab some cappuccinos, and please don't forget to sign out your children.